Hello, everyone. This is Jay, and this
Hi.
Is my wife, Casey. And this is a little show we call The View from Bomax Point. Well, hello, friends, and welcome back. We are gearing up here for what would be our fourth episode of our podcast on parenting. And this is the episode that just didn't want to happen. We have tried to record. This is our third attempt.
Yep.
And so if you're hearing me say that, then that means our third attempt was successful. But we've tried to record two previous times and just didn't have the flow. And so we're taking another run at it. And hopefully this time it comes through as somewhat coherent. We are kind of taking a little detour, I guess I'll call it, with this episode. We're not getting away from the subject of parenting. We're not going that big of a detour, nothing like that at all. It's just that we're going to tackle a subject, a specific aspect of parenting, I guess, that wasn't really something we planned. And the subject is race and racism and just how we talk about that with our children. And there are a few reasons we're doing that. Casey, I guess you had something you were going to share on that.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, some friends were in town and I was out visiting with them and they asked me, how are you guys doing? And I was like, kind of caught me off guard. But essentially what they were getting at was, how are you doing with the way our country is creating this Black Lives Matter movement? And it kind of took me off guard, but it also made me really think about this topic at hand. And, mm-hmm. You know, our family, we have four biological children and three adopted children. And our three adopted children come from the ethnicity of African American. Mm-hmm. They don't look like us.
Right.
So our friend was just checking in on us and seeing mm-hmm. how were we doing and how our kids were doing. And part of me was really thankful for that. And also part of me was just made me pause and think, oh, yeah, we got to figure out how we are going to approach right. this. And we've thought about it before.
Yeah, it's not entirely new.
It's not new in a sense. But I think just the way our country is right now and mm-hmm. the things that are being blasted across the TV mm-hmm. and community, we needed to kind of flush this out. And why not do it this way?
Right.
And you're kind of hearing us talk through it and mm-hmm. our ideas and our thoughts and what we want to talk about with our children. So,
as we already said, it's not like this is new. It's not like we haven't thought about this before.
Right.
And so certain parts of how we would talk to our children about this race conversation, those are well established for us. Even before we adopted, we kind of knew what we thought. But this whole cultural moment that we're in, where the subject of race and racism and systemic racism and the Black Lives Matter mm-hmm. movement, like you said, and shootings, well, I want to say police shootings, but in some cases, it's not even a shooting, right?
The right.
most recent kind of, I guess, police killing of a Black man, no gun was used, right?
Right.
These things and the public response to them, the media response, has kind of put all of this at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. And I've had, I guess we both have had a few people just say, hey, you guys should talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of like, yeah, no.
No.
Not interested. And yet, look, this is, I guess the purpose of this show is for us to kind of talk through our parenting and what we do and why. And because we're being forced, in a sense, to give more thought to this, and we can't just ignore it. Again, not that we were ignoring it before.
Right.
But this really is at the forefront of so many people's minds. And you have people that are going to look at our family and go, oh, how are you handling this?
Right.
You know? And so we thought it would be good to talk through that and to do it on air, I guess. Obviously, we've talked about it some off air, but to sort of just have our conversation on air and let people sit in on it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't watch a lot of TV. We don't watch news. I mean, we read the news. We both have our ways that we find out what's going on in the world, whether it be podcasts or media websites, social media. It's not that we don't follow the news. It's not that we don't follow what's going on in the world, but our children don't have much of a clue. In some sense, that's not a good thing. I mean, we want them to know what's going on.
Well, I was just going to say, like, we don't wake up first thing in the morning and have the Today Show on, or, you know, 5 o'clock news doesn't come on and it's readily available for our family to view. You know, we just don't do that.
Yeah. In this digital age, I think we're probably not alone. I think a lot of people are getting their news. It's not the 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock nightly news and the local newspaper that you're reading for right. A lot of people. Some people, I'm sure it still is. But so, yeah, our kids, they hear us talk about things going on. They hear us talk about George Floyd and Black Lives Matter and some of that. They hear our friends talk about it, or us talking to our friends. They hear it come up in teachings at church. But yeah, they're not like glued to the TVs
right. And
just keeping up on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, we do have an opportunity to control the conversation a little bit.
Filter it
with them and filter it a bit. I guess that's kind of what we're going to talk about a little bit, is just what do we tell them about race and racism? How do we talk in our home? And there's one thing that kind of at the outset really bothers me, and it makes this a difficult conversation to even have with someone. The best example I can think of, just to give people the idea of like what goes on in my mind when the subject comes up of racism,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, you hear silly things. People will try to paint somebody into a corner, and like, it's like, are you, you know, still kicking puppies or whatever, you know? And it's like, there's no right way to answer that question, right?
Right.
Well, I never was. No. Or yeah. Yes, you can't answer that. It's a yes, no question. You can't answer it with a yes, no answer. And that's silly. But when the subject of race and racism comes up, it's really hard for me because I kind of just reject this idea of race. The way we talk about race, in the sense that there are white, Anglo, European, whatever race, and there's Asian race, and there's the African. I mean, you know, this idea of like lumping people into racial categories like that. I had to fill out some paperwork just in the last week where I had to check the box of which race I am of the five. I mean, it just annoys me because yeah. It is an unhelpful man-made category.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's unhelpful because it's a divide that we come up with just on the color of somebody's skin. It's all about appearance. I mean, we know, and we've talked about this in every episode, and we will. Mankind was made in the image of God.
Period.
Period. Mankind. Not different races at different times. And there's one human race. That's why this bothers me so much. It's like from the very beginning of the conversation, I just have to say that. Like I reject this idea that there is a black race and a white race. So when we talk about race and racism, and we're mostly talking black and white, which even that's kind of silly that's the breakdown. And I understand why that is the breakdown. I'm not ignorant. You know, I get that there. But anyway, yeah. So this idea of race, it's not based in reality. It's a lie. And not only that, but, you know, I think this is clear, but I think the concept of race itself is racist. Yeah. I know that sounds ridiculous because I'm saying race doesn't exist in the sense that we talk about it. And at the same time, to actually categorize people in terms of different races is racist. And the roots are racist. I mean, where did we come up with these breakdowns? You know, if you go back and study the roots of where this concept came from, of, you know, again, the prevailing theory or whatever is that there are five races. And if you go back and kind of study where this came from, I mean, well, first of all, it's based in evolutionary theory,
mm-hmm.
right? That these...
Good old Darwin.
Right. So, I mean, that these different races of humans developed, and the idea that there are different races of humans is racist because it comes from a place of wanting to explain the differences and the limitations and the roles of the different races on our planet.
Yeah. No, I was just looking up that definition, Britannica.com. And it's exactly what you're saying. It says race, the idea that the human species is divided into distinct groups on the basis of inherited physical and behavioral differences. Genetic studies in the late 20th century refuted the existence of biogenetically distinct races. Hello. And scholars now argue that races, quote unquote, are cultural interventions reflecting specific attitudes and beliefs that were imposed on different populations in the wake of the Western European conquest beginning the 15th century. I mean, that just goes to prove exactly what you're saying, mm-hmm. is that they're picking these groups out because of the specific attitudes and beliefs that were imposed on the populations, their inherited physical and behavioral differences. So maybe if you don't have just the right eye color, then you go in this group. I mean, like, why skin color? Why couldn't we do eye color? Why couldn't we do nose shape? I mean,
right.
Like,
right. Yeah. I mean, nose shape. There's a
nose shape.
There's a great example. I mean, that's visible. You can see that, right? And maybe it's a little harder for us, but we're used to looking at skin color and it's kind of obvious, right? But human beings across these so-called races, mm-hmm. actually share so many common physical traits that it's ridiculous to separate based on,
right,
supposed race and skin color. I mean, you have Asians and Africans and Europeans. You have people in all of these various groups that have big noses and small noses and flat noses and wide noses and ears and all of these physical characteristics, eye color. And yeah, there mm-hmm. are some differences in, you know, hair color and eye color. There are certainly commonalities within,
right,
skin color too, you know. But what I'm saying is there's diversity and similarities within and across these so-called racial boundaries. And like you were saying, you know, the roots of this concept come from, I guess, mostly Europeans trying to categorize the people that they're seeing as they're traveling the world and colonizing the world and all of this, right? And we're seeing Africans and we're seeing the Aboriginal people in Australia and then the natives when they come to the Americas and what's now North and South America. And they're beginning to categorize people and actually not just categorizing them, but creating a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that certain groups, these people are actually not as far along in this evolutionary process, less developed, less intelligent, less capable than us white Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they are a step or two down on the world hierarchy. And therefore, it's totally normal, sensible for us to use them as slaves and all of this, sure, right? And I often do, I'm oversimplifying a really big conversation.
Right.
But I'm just pointing out that the idea of race is racist and it's unscientific. I that's one of the big things today that gets said a lot. Well, I believe in science. All these mm-hmm. arguments about what science says about cultural ideas and political ideas and all of that. Well, guess what? Race, this idea of different races is unscientific. It's not based in reality.
It's completely judgmental. It's just looking at someone's features and just saying, we're going to put you here. We're going to put you there.
And it has been used ever since the inception of these ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They have been used to subjugate people who are considered to be a lower race.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to rid the world of racism, which I would love to be able to do, well, I think one of the key ways is to not accept this idea that there are races in the first place. If you want to fight against racism, let's start by refusing to talk about us as different races.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not talk about the African race and the white race. We're the human race.
Mm-hmm.
There is one human race. Adam and Eve were created by God. Everyone who exists on this earth today, or whoever has existed, every human being who has ever existed and who is alive today, are descended from Adam and Eve. Acts 17:26 says, He, God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. So a couple things. He made from one, it doesn't actually, in the Greek, it doesn't actually say man. It just says he made from one every nation of mankind. So nation is ethnos, or where we get ethnicity. Every nation of mankind. So even nations, even ethnicities, are just a subcategory of mankind,
mm-hmm.
right? Mankind is all of us. Mm-hmm. Ethnicities are nations or families, is really what they are. They're large families,
mm-hmm.
At least throughout most of the history of the world, this idea of nations has just been to represent families that grew into tribes, that grew into nations, and they were recognized as their own people group. Now, America is kind of unique in that sense because we're diverse and we're a people from all other nations that have, in one way or another, congregated here. But Point is, there is one human race, and we all of mankind, every nation of mankind, was created by God from the original man, Adam. And yet we have these physical differences, and that's not a bad thing. In fact, that's a great thing. And that's one of the things that we tell our children. That's one of the things mm-hmm. that I say is like, look, I'll talk to one of my adopted children, and I'll look at their skin. I'll put our hands up next to each other, and I'll be like, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? I think your skin is beautiful. I think your hair is beautiful, because it's a reminder to me that God is so creative. Mm-hmm. And he made within Adam and Eve. We don't know what color they were. I don't know what hair color, eye color, skin color Adam and Eve had. But I know that God created them with the DNA that had the possibility of all of this variety that we see today. And because of various aspects of their DNA coming out in different children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all of that. And then things like the region that they lived and all of that has affected to what we see today and all of this variety. And that is a testament to God's creativity. And that's beautiful. You know, skin color is a matter for worship. I don't mean that we worship skin color. I don't mean that we bow down to people who have white skin or black skin or olive colored skin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's a matter for worship. We can look at it. We can look at skin colors that we see, and it can cause us to worship God. It should cause us to worship God, just like everything else in God's creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Psalm 19. We look around us and we see God's handiwork, and we worship him. We praise him. And so if we can reject this idea of these various races, and we can learn to just appreciate the beauty and the creativity of God, then that's going to go, and then worship him because of that, that's going to go a long way towards removing some of the wedges. I don't believe that they can be entirely removed, and I'll talk more about that, but towards eradicating some of the hatred that we see across so-called race.
I think something that is very interesting, if you ask our children like what color they are, they say they are brown. And if you ask them what color one of their siblings are, they'll say tan.
Right. Yeah.
And that always makes me pause and be thankful. And I think this is by just the way that we have emphasized God's creativity and our thankfulness to God for the way that they have been made in the image of God. But I think it's just kind of I find it neat. I find it like super sweet, actually, that they're like, I'm not black, I'm brown. Mm-hmm. And I always just stop and laugh at that. And I mean, our adopted children, they have different color variations within them.
Yeah.
You know, two of them are very dark skin, and one of them is lighter color skin. Right. And they notice that difference.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's not an incredible difference, but it's a clear difference.
It's a clear difference, yeah.
And they have the same biological parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there is
all three of them.
All three of them do, right. And you were probably about to say this, but within our four biological children, there's diversity of skin color.
Oh, yeah.
Our twins have just always had a slightly darker complexion. They also tan more easily, you know, than our oldest and youngest biological children. They're just a little paler. Skin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you probably have slightly darker complexion than I do because of our, you know, who we're descended from and the DNA that we've received. So, yeah, I mean, white people are not white. That's another thing that I try to be clear about. White people are not white. Black people are not black. Yeah, we're going to use those descriptions. You're going to hear me 100 times in this podcast say white and black. And so I'm a little inconsistent, I guess, in that, because I really want to just say brown and tan and whatever. So we all have a variety of pigment in our skin. And in fact, so here's the silly thing about it all. It's the same pigmentation.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's just about whether we have more or less of it. Right. That's all it is. It's a skin pigmentation.
And you think of it, it makes a lot of sense. If you think about back in biblical times and where groups of people traveled, they were closer to the equator. They were farther north. Like, God's design of a human being was made for a reason. You put people in certain areas the weather, the foods, all of those things. He did that on purpose, you know? And I just was thinking of, you know, just the other day when we were down in Florida, our daughter, we were asking about sunscreen, if she needed sunscreen. And I was like, yeah, you better put some on. I mean, it's hotter down here. We're going to get a little more sun. And in her mind, she was kind of thinking like, I really don't get that much sun. And I'm like, oh, you could. I'm like, you really could. And by the end of our trip, you know, she had her swimming suit, tan lines.
She actually told me that tonight. We were in the car or something. I can't remember. And she made a comment to say that, yeah, she had these tan lines. I'm like, do you really? That's fascinating to me because she's pretty dark.
Yeah. But her skin handles the sun.
Right.
So much better than ours. And yeah, you can just go back to think about, you know, in Africa, in a majority of that area, mm-hmm. they get a lot of sun.
Well, yeah. So this isn't a scientific podcast. We're kind of generalizing a little bit there. But the idea is that the human body adapts to its environment. And a lot of what we see when it comes to skin color is pigmentation and the way that humans have adapted to their climate and everything over the course of centuries and millennia. So when I talk about adaptation, so this might be interesting to people because I wholesale reject Darwinian evolution mm-hmm. because I know that God created Adam and Eve and we descend from them. So I reject macroevolution, right? The idea that created beings, living beings, can change from one type of thing to another type of thing, from one kind of animal to another kind of animal. We don't have evidence of that. And it contradicts God's word and what he tells us is true. At the same time, we absolutely accept that there are adaptations and what we might call microevolution, right? Within a species of animal, you're going to see adaptation to an environment.
The basic dog, you can see that very clearly. You have the dogs who run sleds and their fur coat is thicker. Where you have other dogs like a greyhound who's very thin coat and still runs fast, but, you know, is not in that environment.
Yeah. And so we're not animals, which is another reason I don't like when the idea of using the word species to refer to humans, because it makes it sound like we're just another animal, which is the way a lot of people think, right? We're just another animal. We're just more evolved, but we are unique. Made in God's image. But of course, we adapt and evolve in a micro sense mm-hmm. to our climate, our surroundings, the things that happen in our lives over the course of generations and generations and generations. There are going to be adaptations. So switching gears slightly, I want to say this, though I reject the idea of race, the way we use it, as there are several different races of human beings, I reject that. At the same time, I want to acknowledge that what we call racism is real.
Because there is division among people.
According to skin color. Mm-hmm. Right. So racism is really a hatred for others who are not like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that is not new. Mm-mm. Though our concept of race and the various races is relatively new, the idea of hating someone who is different from you is not. And it goes way back. The root of what we call racism today existed in Cain and Abel.
Yes.
Right? The sons of Adam and Eve. We have the fall of mankind and these sons being born in sin. And we have hatred and jealousy, and we have one brother killing another brother. And that, the root of what caused Cain to kill Abel, it's the exact same root as what we call racism today. It's a hatred for, it's a love of self and a hatred for others. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, we latch on to skin color as this thing that makes people different from us, even though, as we've said, it's just a different level of pigmentation, mm-hmm. and we are all distant relatives. And I don't want to say that having a preference for people like you is wrong. Some people might say that, but I'm not going to say that. And the reason I'm not is think about family. we naturally, and I would say rightly, have more of an affinity for our family.
Mm-hmm.
And so who is more like us biologically and according to skin color and our other physical characteristics, and of course our culture too, who's more like us than our own family members? Well, no one. And they are, for most people, some of your closest and most beloved people are your siblings, your parents, your children, all of that, right? And everybody would say, yeah, great. That's a good thing.
I have a prime example of what you are talking about.
Okay.
So your family, we get together for big holidays.
Uh-huh.
And we
I
go,
know where you're going.
And we go to the banquet hall here in town and get together.
Or somebody's house.
Or somebody's house, yeah. And we all gravitate towards the immediate family that you're a part of.
Right.
You know, like you see it all the time. I feel like we find that at anything, graduation party, anything, at weddings, we all sit with each other. Like you and your siblings and their families, we all sit together. And your cousins' families, they all sit together, you know. And so we have a preference for our similar people.
Right. And in that case, of course, it's not skin color because we're all very closely related. And again, I think some of it's cultural and familiarity with those people. But like there's nothing wrong with having a preference for your close family.
Right.
If we just sort of extrapolate that out a little bit, it's not wrong to have a preference for a cousin over against some random stranger that you meet that might even have the same skin color, hair color, eye color, same height, shape as you. You're not going to have the same affinity for a stranger, for someone whose ways, customs, and maybe even appearance are different from yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty normal, and I would say, and maybe even good, to have a preference for people who are like you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what we want to avoid is making this an identity.
Right.
So think about someone who's, so I reject this idea of races, you know, but people use the term biracial, okay? Mm-hmm. Imagine that you had a darker skinned father and a lighter skinned mother. Okay. And you have a person who, again, it's so silly that we say they're half white and half black. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just ridiculous. They're just a color somewhere in between. They're not half anything and half something else. But let's say that it's obvious that they have some African heritage, right? How ridiculous would it be for them to identify more closely with someone from Sudan or Nigeria than from their own cousin who has two, quote, white parents, right? Maybe they have a really dark complexion and they even look African, even though their mom's white, okay? Mm-hmm. And so they might look more like the Nigerian in the sense of skin color, but how ridiculous would it be for them to identify themselves and align themselves more with someone who has a different nation, different rulers, different customs, different culture, different religion, different language, right? Everything is different about them, except they happen to have a similar skin color. Why in the world would someone make that their identity over against my cousin who happens to have a totally different skin color than me, but like everything else we have in common, language, culture, religion, all of these things, you know, that we have in common. And so it's kind of ridiculous to make an identity out of skin color.
Mm-hmm.
Where this preference for people like us goes wrong is when we engage in what we might call tribalism.
Mm-hmm.
Where we so closely align ourselves with people who look like us that we actually set ourselves up against and have a hatred towards people of other tribes. And, you know, I think tribalism is probably a better description than racism.
Yeah.
Because, again, race isn't real and tribes are. I guess I should define what I mean by a tribe. A tribe is, in essence, a group of families that all descend from the same people. You might have a family and then that family has children and they branch out a little bit. And then eventually you've got hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands or whatever it is of people. And you know, that's your tribe. And then as that continues to grow, we might describe that as a nation. You know, they might be their own nation or people group or ethnicity.
I think something good to point out on that is that our pastor often references his time in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And working with the pastors there and and how tribalism is very prevalent.
Right.
And they're all the same color there.
Right. They look the same to me. I mean, that's my, this is right. an ignorant American talking.
Right.
I go there. I can't tell which ones are Kikuyu and which ones are whatever the other main tribe is there in Kenya. Yeah.
And they have some, you know, I don't know if I'd go to say as far as hatred towards each other, but there are some tribes that don't like each other. You know, they fight. It's very evident and they all look the same.
Right. Or at least from our perspective. I mean, they can tell some right. differences, I'm sure, physically. But in terms of race, again, this idea of race, well, they're all part of the same race.
Right. Yeah.
And they all have, quote, black skin, maybe with some variants and stuff in it and some other physical characteristics. But the point is, here you have people within the same race, and yet you have tribalism. You have different tribes of people. The Kikuyu is the one that I'm most familiar with, or the biggest population, but even they are less than 20% of the population of Kenya. And so you have a lot of different tribes, and you have these political tensions, and you have this tension and fighting and even violence between these different tribes or ethnic groups. And again, it has nothing to do with skin color.
Right, right. Not at all.
It's a love of self. It's an idolization of people like you, and a hatred for others, a hatred for those who are different.
Right.
So related to all of this, you know, there are a bunch of things that I want to tell our children. And some of these things we've said a lot already, and some of them we haven't, but we will, or we've talked about them just a little bit. So I guess I just kind of want to rattle some of these things off mm-hmm. and we can talk about them a little bit. One of them is, don't make your skin color your identity.
Hmm.
Right. Yeah. I talked about that a little bit already. I mean, imagine favoring someone that has the same skin color as you, but doesn't share anything else in common, like culture, language, all of that. Right.
I see it in the area of sports. I mean, you see it a lot in sports. In track, some of the fastest men are black. And you kind of see that, I think, trickled down into the children. Like, so-and-so is the fastest man. I look like him. You can kind of see that.
Like identify
with
them mm-hmm. because they, again, we say they look like you, but they don't necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, they look like you in the sense that they have a similar skin color. They have a darker pigmentation. They have more melanin. But they might be 6'3", and you're 5'7". They might have a wide face, and you've got a narrow face. They might have a flat nose, and you've got a nose that projects out. Right? I mean, it's kind of silly, again,
right.
to identify. And I guess that's what I'm saying. Don't identify and make an idol out of your skin color. Don't make it your identity, because it really is superficial, right? I mean, literally, physically, it is very superficial. It doesn't go deep beyond a few layers of skin. Point is, it's very superficial. So don't make it your identity. Don't group up with or divide from people based on the color of skin. And this matters in our family
mm-hmm.
because we do have variety. We're just not going to tolerate people, children, grouping up and viewing themselves as two different groups because of skin color, because of race. We're not going to tolerate it. It would be so destructive for our family if we allowed that kind of thing. So we're going to nip it in the bud, right? When we see it, when we see that kind of aligning ourselves, or, you know, whether it's a where we sit when we sit down for dinner or in the car, or if it's, you know, we're making teams for a game and we're going to biological children over here and adopted children over here, those kinds of things. And some of that might even be innocent and just fine. But like, we just want to be careful to not allow that sort of thing to happen where I'm going to go out into the world and comfortably group myself up with people who look like me and then reject or divide from people who don't look like me. That's one of the reasons we don't watch the news.
Yeah.
I think you said that before. It's like, we don't want to turn the news on and let our children keep imbibing this idea that there is a division between people of different skin colors. Like, we're just not, when you allow that kind of thinking to come in, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? It's going to bring about.
It's just creating division. That's all it is. And
right.
It's when you are going out rioting, going out looting, you're just creating division. I was just thinking about this the other day. we were driving by and there was graffiti all over the street and on a couple of the buildings. And my children were asking, they're like, what's that say? And it was just like, it just said like BLM. And of course, my children are learning to read. And so they were like, does that say balloon? Like, no, it doesn't say balloon. I'm like, it's initials. It stands for Black Lives Matter. And I kind of just said it like that. And I think one of them said, why did they put that? Don't we all matter? I'm like,
out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah, out of a 7-year-old, you know? Right. And they couldn't quite fathom why that was. And we're like, well, they're not happy with what's going on. And there was this shooting, or not shooting, killing. And they're like, well, why do they have to do this? Why do they have to make a mess of everything? And really, like, why do you have to make a mess of everything?
Right.
You know, that was their thinking. Well, it's just, yep, it is making a mess. It is. It's dividing. It is making a mess.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because part of what you're saying is bothering me because mm-hmm. it's too broad brush, right? Talk about the protests and the rioting and people just love to point out, and they're not wrong.
Right.
People just love to point out that there are a lot of different groups represented
mm-hmm.
in the protests and the riots and stuff. You get different groups of people congregating in different areas, or you might have 1,000 people show up for a protest, and the diversity of thought and opinions about why they're there and what they're hoping to accomplish is so broad, right? And so some people absolutely are peaceful and others
sure.
aren't. And they might have completely different motives for why they're being the way they're being. It bothers me when we kind of like broad brush and talk about protest. Like protesting
Sorry,
is...
That's not fair.
No. Listen, because this gets to a point. I'm still glad it came up because protesting is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, protesting is one of what our nation, our founding fathers recognized to be a basic human right. As human beings, like nobody gives us this right. The government doesn't give us this right. As human beings, we have a right to speak up when something is wrong. We have a right to let it be known. And if that means we gather as a group and light candles or hold signs or pray or march or whatever it might be, that's actually a totally fine thing to do. And then, yes, there are people looting and rioting and all of that. And sometimes it's the same people and sometimes it's not. But the reason I'm still glad that that all came up is it proves a point that I guess I haven't made yet, but that is on my mind. Let's just talk for a minute only about protesters and or rioters who have dark skin, okay?
Okay.
Look at the diversity of thought within them. Some of them are peaceful. Some of them are violent. Some of them are just thieves. Some of them carry guns around and threaten people and even shoot and kill 8-year-old girls in Atlanta. That, oh, by the way, have the same skin color as them. And some of them are totally peaceful, have no desire to do destruction or theft or violence. But right there, that's kind of what we're talking about. Like, there's diversity of thought there. There isn't unity. People talk about racial reconciliation. You might as well be in La La Land. It's not going to happen.
No. It's
not. It is impossible. What would be the standard to say that we have achieved racial reconciliation? How would you decide?
I don't think you could.
Right. Like, it's not measurable, but you can't have racial reconciliation. Again, I hate the term race. I hate that I have to keep using it, but everybody understands what I mean by that. You can't have racial reconciliation when you don't have reconciliation among people of the same, quote, race.
Right.
And it's not just diversity of thought or diversity of method when it comes to protesting. It's actual real hatred and violence. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but this is accurate, okay? Did you know that the number of black people killed by other black people is way more than the number of black people killed by white people? So how can we have reconciliation between whites and blacks?
When there's not within their own
There's not within the black community.
Group.
And by the way, did you know that the number of white people killed by other white people is way higher than the number of white people killed by black people? So this idea that there is animosity and that there is this huge rift between white and black in our nation, we're just talking about America, basically, mm-hmm. right? The idea that there is this massive rift between the white and black races in America, the data, the statistics, just don't even agree with that.
Right.
I'm not saying that there isn't hatred between white and black people. Of course there is. But there's also hatred between white and white people and black people. And when I say way more, I'm talking like 5, 10, 15, 20 times more, depending on the area. Way, way, way more within the same skin color than there are across skin colors. So people that are trying to describe this massive rift between our supposed races, they're really just trying to divide, like you were saying, really just trying to create more division. And it's not even necessary because there's already plenty of hatred as it is. And the thing is, melanin, this pigmentation in our skin, it's not a moral agent. Melanin doesn't make decisions.
Right.
When a white man is racist and hates a black man and treats him poorly and lynches him, it is not his lack of melanin doing that.
Mm-hmm.
If a black man hates the police because of police brutality and police killing of black men, if a black man hates a white police officer and ambushes him and shoots him and kills him, it is not his larger amount of melanin in his skin that is acting.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with that. It's hatred. It's sin. It's pride. Jesus said this. It's what comes out of the heart that defiles a man. Not what goes in. It's what comes out of the heart. So in other words, we have hatred and evil within our hearts. And that is what is causing us to take violent action against somebody who looks different from us. So it's just the wickedness of the human heart. And it's choosing to act out of that wickedness towards someone who looks different. So races don't reconcile. Races can't reconcile. Individuals can reconcile.
Mm-hmm.
Individual light-skinned people and dark-skinned people can reconcile with one another and praise God. And the gospel has a lot to say about racial reconciliation, right? I just said races don't reconcile. But Jews and Gentiles, I mean, go read your New Testament and look at just how big of a deal. It's way beyond the scope of this mm-hmm. podcast conversation. But look at how big of a deal it was for Jews and Gentiles, Jews and non-Jews, to worship together, to be reconciled within the one Christian church. I mean, they struggled with that for years, decades, and it took a long time for them to get over their differences. But that has to do with individuals from both of those groups being reconciled to God. And as it says in Ephesians, he tears down the dividing wall of hostility between the two. So what tears down the dividing wall of hostility? The gospel. Jesus Christ came and died for people from every tribe, tongue, nation. People of all skin colors and all shapes and sizes, all parts of the world, all languages, are going to be with Christ in glory, worshiping him together. So you want to talk about reconciling people. You're not going to reconcile the white race and the black race. By preaching the gospel, God is going to save people, draw them to himself, and he is going to reconcile people with different skin pigmentations so that they can worship him together. He's going to tear down that dividing wall. You can have people who think that they are better because they're black and who hate white people, and you can have white supremacists who hate black people. And those people, those individual people, can be reconciled to God and reconciled to one another through the cross of Christ. So this conversation is running pretty long, and so we'll probably split it and probably end up doing a part one and a part two. And so maybe this is a good place to just pause and sort of let people digest a little bit what we've said so far about race and racism and how we talk about it in our family. And then we've got a bunch more things we want to talk about yet, and so we can pick that back up and I guess do a part two. And we'll probably try to put those out a week apart or something like that so that we can get one of them finished up and work on the next one.
Sounds like a plan.
So thanks for joining us. I hope that was helpful discussion. And I hope you'll come back and hear what we have to say, I guess, in the second half of wrestling with this subject of race and racism in the family and in a diverse family like ours.
All right. Have a good night, everyone.